Joining us on the line is the Ice Hockey UK chairman, Jim Anderson. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Chris.
Now, listen, one of the big questions that we're getting at the moment, up and down the country, really, and especially inside sport, is the Scottish independence referendum. Now, that is coming, what, 3 months away now?
3 months away in September, yeah.
Exactly. It's very close, and we're getting questions to us about what would it mean for GB, what would it mean for British ice hockey. You know, are you getting answers to those questions at the moment?
At the present moment in time, unfortunately, no. I'm getting no answers from either the yes vote or from the no vote better together campaigns. All national governing bodies received a letter from Sona Robinson, who is the sports minister for the Scottish Government way back in 2012. And part of that letter was asking national governing bodies in Scotland to give their thoughts on an independent Scotland, and she was asking for an informative and enlightening constructive debate to the vision. I wrote what we, under the IIHF rules at present in 2012, what it would mean to Scottish ice hockey. I believe that other NGBs, because I have spoken to them, put in what their thoughts were. Whether this was collated or not, I honestly don't know. We've had no feedback whatsoever from the Scottish Government. We had in 2013 an email from someone from the department saying that a newspaper had asked for the information, and in their view, they shouldn't give the information to that newspaper. I wrote back and said that the information that I'd given on behalf of ice hockey could be shared with anyone. Where we are at the present moment in time, I honestly don't know. I've sent emails, I've copied in all parties to my emails, so that means I've copied in Scottish National Party, I've copied in the Labour Party, I've copied in Scottish Liberals, Conservatives, MSPs. The feedback from them has been little to no response. Where we are at the present moment in time, on where we go, how sport's going to be formed in Scotland, I honestly cannot answer that question.
Obviously, I don't want to turn this into a political debate in any way, shape or form, but obviously a no vote and things stay the same. But if it's a yes vote, I guess that could mean drastic changes, not only in the way Ice Hockey UK is set up, but in maybe in the way that the UK leagues recognise Scottish players. And I guess that's what you're asking. You need to know these answers because they are massive knock-on effects, perhaps, for ice hockey in the UK.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. What we've done at Ice Hockey UK, in the background, as you probably know, we are actually looking at the whole structure and governance of ice hockey right throughout the UK. And we've brought in a specialist consultancy group, Fortins. Now, they cannot conclude the governance and structure of ice hockey in the UK until this vote is taken. That is quite obvious. I've been in touch with the IIHF, and as you know, myself, Andy French, Jeff Hemmerman, of late, were in Minsk at IIHF Congress, and we spoke to various people in the legal department what it could mean to Scottish ice hockey if there was an independent vote. And basically, Scotland would be treated like any other country that is separated in the past, and we've got examples of that. We've got the Russian Federation countries that split up that were to do with ice hockey. We've got the Czechoslovakia and the Slovakian Republic now that split up. So we do have things that have happened in the past that we know what could happen with an ice hockey. What could happen is that, therefore, Scotland would be looked at as a sovereign state. So that would therefore mean that they would be able to go to IIHF in their own right as a sovereign state. That, people might say, hey, well, that's a great thing. We now could put Scottish teams into world championships, etc., etc. But there is a downside on that because, you know, to go into world championships, Scotland would need financing of something in the region of £300,000 to £700,000 to do that. We would also need a talent pool of players, which unfortunately we do not have a talent pool of players to play at that level. The other thing, apart from the financial thing, is that, you know, the fact is Scottish ice hockey, like most ice hockey in the UK, is volunteer based. The money that comes into ice hockey is through subscriptions, whether it be registration fees of players, officials, affiliation fees of clubs. So it's actually financed by the participants. There is very little sponsorship about for ice hockey because it's termed as a minority sport. There is very little to no opportunity to receive money from UK Sport, Sport England, Sport Scotland, etc., etc. at this present moment in time. That is why we're looking at the governance and the structure of the sport.
So that's something you're trying to change quite proactively.
That's something that we're trying to change prior to this whole debate what's happened in Scotland. What would actually happen, right? You asked about the leagues. What would actually happen? As you know, we have players from Scotland playing in English leagues. We have English players playing in Scottish leagues. They would still have to be able to do that, but because Scotland would be then classed the same as UK is, which would, you know, if there was a yes vote, we'd obviously be England, Wales and Northern Ireland making up the UK, and Scotland is a sovereign country, as far as IIHF is concerned. So therefore, what that would mean is that players from England that wanted to play in Scotland would need an international transfer card. Players from Scotland that wanted to play in England would need an international transfer card. And an international transfer card at the present moment in time costs £850.
Interesting times, for sure, and I'm sure they're points for people to ponder, and I appreciate you taking the time to kind of explain the whole situation to the people. Just before you go, just quickly, this governance review that you've put out a few months ago now, I gather that's well underway, and I know that Ice Hockey UK put online a form for fans to have their say. I think there's been a very good take-up, hasn't there? There's been a very proactive response from the fans across the UK.
Well, I believe from Porton that we've had something like 1,500 to 2,000 responses on the online survey regarding sports governance, etc., etc. You know, but if you're actually talking about the working group on Scottish sport that was done for the Scottish Government by Henry McLeish, that was published a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, the view of most national governing bodies, and my view, and I think UK's view, is that that actually raises more questions than it gives answers to where sport is going to be or going to go if there's an independent Scotland. I mean, you know, for example, we've got, as you know, we've got Scottish teams playing in the highest league in this country, as the Elite League. The Elite League is based in England. The Elite League is registered in England. So therefore, the Scottish clubs, i.e. Fife Flyers, Edinburgh Capitals, Brayheads and Dundee Stars, would still be able to play in that league. But Scottish Indigenous players that have played in for those teams for years or want to aspire to play in that top division, they would have to pay for an ITC card. So to put in perspective, for example, a player like Kyle Horn, who's Scottish-born and played in for Fife Flyers and Edinburgh Capitals and other teams throughout Great Britain, would now have to pay, or his club, Fife Flyers, would have to pay £850 for an ITC card for Kyle to play in that Elite League. Now, one of the questions that some of the owners might say is, well, and this is no disrespect to any Scottish player in any way, shape or form, or any English player, but they may be able to get a player from the EU cheaper. So therefore, where does our Indigenous players go? And that's the worry to hockey.
Well, they're very interesting points, and I think there's a lot for people to ponder on. So thanks very much, Jim, for taking your time to have a chat with us.
Right, Chris. Thanks very much.